Father, as we just come into your presence, we pray that you would just examine our hearts and every thought of our minds, reveal those areas of our lives that you want to transform and change and mold us more and more into the image of your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So Abraham is one of those extraordinary biblical figures, and he's one that's unusual because three different religious traditions actually embrace him as central figures of their faith. For Jews, Abraham is the father of their people who intuitively knew and obeyed God and his teachings 430 years before Moses revealed them. For Muslims, Abraham exemplifies perfect submission to Allah, doing everything that God asked him to do. And for Christians, his life exemplifies the life of faith. The fact that all three traditions embrace Abraham reveals his importance to Scripture, even though each has interpreted his life in different ways. But if you look carefully at the original story of Abraham, we find that it has very much to do with his faith above all else that makes him a noteworthy figure. In this Lenten season of reflection, repentance, and preparation, spiritual disciplines like meditating on the life of the patriarch Abraham can help us to learn to wait for the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives. His story teaches us to trust God even when our eyes can't see the possibilities. So I invite you to open your Bibles today to Genesis chapter 15. Now the good news is, I hope most of you have already read this, because this is part of our chronological Bible reading last Sunday. I'm going to quiz you. No, I'm not going to quiz you. But it's a great passage for us to meditate on this season in particular. It always seems like we're waiting on God for something, doesn't it? I mean, we're always waiting. And as disciples, we are waiting for the return of Jesus and for the promise of eternal life. But in the life of faith, many of us have experienced more personal promises. We've heard God's promise that he will bring healing to an incurable disease, or that he will bring a job when we've been laid off, or that he will bring success to a project we've been working on for a long time, or that he will give us the love of our life when we've been walking many years in loneliness. But as time goes on, we can easily begin to wonder if God will fulfill those promises to us. I think I heard you say this. And that's the faith dilemma. It's, do we continue to believe and trust, or do we give up hope when God doesn't appear to be acting? And this faith dilemma isn't unique to us. It's characteristic of every life that chooses to put its confidence in God. We will face times when we must trust God, and as time runs out, it seems less likely that our prayers are going to be answered. The life of the patriarch Abram, as Abraham is known in chapter 15, was no different. His journey of faith is our journey of faith. His struggle to believe is our struggle to believe. His faith dilemma is our faith dilemma. Abram's faith dilemma began early in chapter 15. All is not well at the beginning of this chapter. In the chapter immediately prior to this one, Abraham had led an army of his men and defeated the allied kings. He'd freed his nephew Lot and had restored all that they had taken. Abraham attempted now to return back to his previous life, but he can't do it. He was now mixed up with international politics. complete with alliances and enemies, but he had no land to rule. He felt his own weakness and vulnerability. His brush with death in battle, his fear of retaliation, and his separation from Lot weighed heavily on him. And in the midst of this, God appears to him in a vision. And his first words are, "Do not be afraid." But Abraham is particularly weighed down with his concern over his childlessness, a concern that his encounter with death had now made acute. In verses 2 and 3, Abram cried out, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. You have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." God had already appeared to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, promising to give his descendants the land of Canaan, where he would live as a stranger. But how would his descendants inherit this land? 10 years had now passed since God had made the original promise to Abram, and his wife continued to be barren. Abram could not understand how God's promise could possibly become a reality. The only solution available now was for one of his slaves to become his heir. But that would mean that the land God promised him would not belong to him and his descendants, but to another family line. And so Abram was frustrated. He wanted to believe God's promise, but he couldn't figure out how it could possibly come to fruition. It just seemed impossible. And so God faced that faith dilemma. So what promise has God made to you? You know, you may not even be aware of it, that God has promises for your life. I believe he speaks into all of his children with promises of one sort or another. And the place to look for those promises is found in the desires of your heart. What is God speaking to you? When you meditate on Scripture, when you pray, what is God saying about your future? You know, young people, you know, are often more aware of the desires of their hearts because their life is still a blank slate. Anything is possible for them. But as you get older and you become more aware of your limitations and experience failures, it's easy to give up on hope and to stop dreaming. But God doesn't stop having promises for you. What is God's promise to you? When you sit down before him, what is it that you hear? Is it the promise of healing? Is it the promise of a new job or situation? Is it the promise that a loved one would come to know him? Is it reconciliation with an estranged child or friend? Is it the promise of success in some enterprise? Is it the creation of something new? Perhaps these are promises he made to you years ago, and circumstances are such that you have wondered how it could possibly come true now. And that's the faith dilemma. For many years, I had just a strong sense that God was calling me to full-time ministry. And when I look back at it now, I realize that was God's promise to me. So I first encountered that promise when I was in college, and I joined the Peace Corps afterward. And then, thinking that I was going to become a missionary, and then I met all these missionaries, and none of them cared about sharing the gospel. And I became disillusioned as this, you know, 20-year-old. It's like, is this what it's all about? Well, I want no part of it. And so I decided I'll just go have establish a business career, which is what I did. All thoughts a full-time ministry just disappeared. And I did my job well, and with success, that hope of one day, you know, becoming, having a ministry of my own just kind of went away. I enjoyed my work in business, but I knew in my heart of hearts something wasn't right. That I was doing something that I wasn't supposed to be doing. But how was I going to get out of this? I kept succeeding. I kept moving up. I kept making more money. I became more secure in it. Ministries seemed more and more remote as the years passed on. So I prayed, Lord, I don't see how this could possibly happen. On the one hand, you've given me this career, and on the other hand, you've given me this desire to do ministry. How is this going to take place? That was a faith dilemma. I didn't see how it could possibly happen. When the promise of God conflicts with the reality of circumstances, God strengthens our faith in surprising ways. Look at what he did with Abram. So in verse 4, God reassures him that his slave would not become his heir, but that he would have a son coming from his own body who would be his heir. And then he took him outside and showed him the sky. And he said, look at these stars, these incredible stars. And he said, if you can count them, there's so many, but this is the way that your offspring will be. Verse 6 records the famous words where Abram believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So what had changed? Why the sudden transformation? How did he move from being frustrated to being certain about God's promise? Well, what is clear is that God didn't provide him any rational argument for why he should now believe that he was going to have his own child. Because faith is not based on reason. Nor did God tell him, you just have to believe a little harder. Because faith is not based on determination. Nor does God say, you just have to get rid of your doubt. Because faith is not about having no doubts. Rather, faith is built on a revelation of who God is. When God appeared to Abram in verse 1, he said, I am your shield. And he was revealing to him that it's God who protects him and his family. That it was not he who had saved his nephew. It was God. It was not he who had recaptured what had been stolen. It was God. He was his protection all along, and Abram didn't realize it. When God took him outside to see the stars in the sky, Abram was filled with awe as he looked heavenward. And he realized that the stars are filled with so much awe. How much more must God care for him and his family? The same God who made the stars could make a son and a multitude of descendants for a barren family. Abraham believed not because he now felt new generative powers in his loins, nor was it because he had higher expectations of his wife Sarah, but he came to the realization that the fulfillment of the promise would not be based on what he could see with his eyes, but rather his reliance upon the one who made the promise. In essence, Abram repented of his disbelief and put his confidence in God, who has the power to do all things. We must have a revelation of God's power if we're going to believe his promises. It is God, not what we see with our eyes, that is our future. when we hear the testimonies of God healing people or God's miraculous provision in our lives. These testimonies are meant to demonstrate that God is capable of doing even the unimaginable. And it's to give us faith that he will also fulfill the promises that he's made to us. And to further reinforce Abram's faith, God for the first time reveals his name to him in verse 7. He said, "I am Yahweh." That's what Lord in all capital letters literally translates to. He's revealing himself to him. And then he states his intention toward him and renews the promise that the land of Canaan would be his. Unfortunately, the human heart being what it is, doubt began to creep in. Even after Abram had repented and trusted God, he began to question again, "How can I know that I will gain possession of the promise you made to me?" And in response, the Lord gave a sign to Abram that he would never forget. God told Abram to slaughter and cut in half 5 animals, a heifer, a sheep goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. And then Abram fell into this deep sleep, and horror came over him. He was in the presence of the Holy God. And this is confirmed by the symbols of holiness that Abram saw: a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch. And what did this holy God do? He passed between the pieces of animals. In the ancient Near East, when people wished to seal a covenant, they walked between the halves of sacrificed animal bodies and asked God to do the same to them if they broke the covenant. And that was what God was doing. He was committing himself to Abram with the most binding oath possible. He was cursing himself by himself if he should ever fail to carry out the promise. Awestruck, Abram kept silence as he experienced the profound fear of the Lord. What kind of God would voluntarily bind himself to a human being? What had Abraham ever done for God? Nothing. But God, out of his own free will, offered Abram this gift. Abram could trust God because God is trustworthy. What are the promises that God has made to you? Believe because God is powerful. All things are possible. Believe because God's integrity. And believe because God was ultimately faithful to Abram. You know, I look at how God supernaturally intervened and whisks me out of the corporate boardrooms and brought me here. I look at the healings he's repeatedly done in our midst. I look at how he's provided us with a new place to worship after more than a year of prayer. I know he can be counted on. What is the promise God has put in your heart? Put your faith completely in him, and he will turn your promise into reality. No dream is too great or too mighty for the living God. Trust him, believe him, and you won't be disappointed. The faith dilemma teaches us to put our trust in the Lord. Amen.